Good. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew 17. I want to share with you today, I want to talk about the birth and the ministry of John the Baptist. But I wanted to show you this before we go there. After the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ commanded them not to speak concerning what they had seen. And they came down off the mountain. And in verse 10, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they list. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, God is magnificent. Our Father is magnificent. He teaches us, blesses us, helps us. He set this whole thing up so that we could be delivered forever. Be with him. He has set it up, and every little thing that he spoke of in the Old Testament, everything he spoke in the Word is coming to pass or has come to pass. If it hasn't come to pass yet, it will come to pass. There's just no doubt. But a lot of times people don't get it and they don't see it. These men knew that in order for the things of God to come to pass, that Elijah, God had prophesied that Elijah would be sent first before the Messiah. They'd just seen Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. They knew that he was the Christ. And that there was no doubt in these three men's mind. I mean, they just heard God speak. They just saw the cloud. They just saw these great things. They saw Jesus transfigured before them. I mean, there's no getting away with it. They know that he is the Christ. Yet, where was Elijah? What happened? I don't get it. So they asked the question. If you go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, is where it says it. It's really Malachi is such a unbelievable book. I mean, you know, it makes me cry. God Almighty has loved his people throughout the centuries, and yet they, for the most part, choose not to believe him, trust him, and stay faithful to him. I mean, it's our lifetime is whatever it is. If it's 100 years, it's short. You know, it's short compared to eternity. You know, if you take 100 grains of sand and each grain, just think of it. Take a test tube and count out 100 grains of sand, each grain being a year. And then eternity is all the sand on all the beaches under all the oceans of the earth. Plus. So this is just a drop in the bucket, this thing we call a lifetime. But God made sure that everyone would know. And, you know, and the things concerning our deliverance and the coming Messiah and the kingdom that's coming and all the other things, he had to hide certain portions of it because he didn't want the adversary to understand, so that the plan could be carried out. And it says here in verse 5 of Malachi in chapter 4, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Jesus Christ made known to his men that it was John the Baptist who was this coming Elijah. And I thought it was just so incredible. God didn't give him the same name. God gave him the name John. Hey, he could do anything he wants, right? He's the Father. He's God. But he kept his promise. He kept his promise. John also didn't do any mighty miracles, but he was a powerful, powerful prophet who turned the hearts of the people to prepare the way of the Lord. I just thought it was something. Go to Luke chapter 1. You and I may not understand everything that goes on. And those of us who think we do are generally proven wrong as time goes by. We are only human. We see through a glass darkly, but we can know the things that God makes known to us. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5 starts the record. "And there were in the days of Herod the king of Judah certain priests named Zacharias of the course of Abib, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in age." This is quite a testimony of the two of them. They were godly people, righteous, did the word, lived their lives for God. They didn't have children, and now they're old. "And according to the custom of the priest's office," verse 8, says, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense." This was a specific task that had to be done. And the priests, the way they had them, they had so many priests that each one had a specific time, a specific lot, a specific job. And they would do this in order. You know, it would be, this guy's going to do this, you know, so that everyone could share in ministering before the Lord. And this was his time. He went in, and the people were outside waiting for him to come out. And verse 12, "And when Zacharias there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the obedient, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, that tells you that John the Baptist is the one that the Lord has sent as Elijah. All right. Jesus made it known to his men, confirmation. Okay. And later on, we'll read the prophecy concerning John. But this is the declaration of the angel Gabriel. It's pretty incredible. You know, God is so good. God is so good. Everything. He wants us to know. This book of Luke was probably given about 60 AD, right? After pretty much the first century is coming to an end, you know, in the middle of the first century. Remember, Jesus was born about 3 BC. He was 30 years old when he started his ministry. And now, 30 years later, the book of Luke is probably penned. All right? God gives him the revelation to put down. He wants us to know every little thing. He wants us to know. I was reading these chapters and going through even the, you know, which I usually skip. I went through the family tree of Joseph last night and was reading the name. I'm thrilled. God wanted to prove to all of us that Jesus was the Messiah, that he fulfilled his promises, that everything he said was going to come to pass, came to pass. And if we missed it, he wants to make sure it was recorded that we don't. You know, certainly the apostles didn't understand that John the Baptist was the prophet Elijah, as promised. They didn't get that. They had to ask, and Jesus made it known to them. And God makes it known to Luke here and makes it known to all of us by recording exactly what Gabriel said. I just think it's so loving of our Father. There's nothing that we won't be told that we need to be told. Verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. You want to know what's going to happen to you? What sign do you want? You're not going to be able to speak. You're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believes not the words which shall be fulfilled in their season. That is, talk about, you want a sign? You're standing in the temple. You are doing your service as a priest before the Lord. The angel Gabriel showed up next to you, next to that altar. And he speaks these things, what sign am I going to get? You know, that these are going to happen, because I'm an old man. My wife's an old lady. I just love, you know, how often have you been told by God? Do you hear those prophecies that were brought forth today? How often have you and I been told by God, I'm with you, I'll be with you, I'm never away, I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you understanding, I'll provide for you, I'll take care of you, and yet we still... And God, we don't ask for a sign, because you might get something more than you thought. We have to. Every word of God. Every word of God. You got to pay attention. If you really believe that the manifestations of the Spirit are from the Lord, which I do, then you got to hear that as your encouragement, just like you do when you read the scriptures. This is not some far away father. This is not something that's in the future. This is present today. And we take these words, I pray that we take them as serious and we club ourselves over the head, so to speak, like Gabriel just clubbed Zechariah over the head, so to speak. So he's not going to be able to speak. In verse 21, it says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, his job's done, he departed from his to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath my Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. You know, it's so incredible. People, did Zechariah believe that this was going to happen? Was he, you know, when the angel spoke it to him? No, he said, it's your unbelief. You're going to get a sign. Your unbelief, you don't believe what I say. I got this incredible blessing that's just come upon you. Good, be dumb. Be dumb until it comes to pass. He didn't have faith to do it, to believe it. But you know what? It came to pass. Elizabeth didn't know nothing about it. It came to pass. You know, so many people think about it, it's based upon my faith or on what I do. No, God wants something done. Guess what? Now we have the record, which I'm not going to read, save it for another time maybe, of Mary and the angel coming to her 6 months after Elizabeth is pregnant. But I do want to read this. It says in verse 35, it says, and the angel said unto her, talking about to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with the Father. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country in haste unto the city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist leaped in her womb. Remember, this child is going to receive the Spirit from birth, right? It leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You know, three people on the earth knew that Mary was having the Messiah at this particular moment. Mary had just been visited. She's basically has no signs of being pregnant. She goes into Elizabeth's house. and God Almighty shows Elizabeth, this is the mother of my Lord, the Messiah. And John the Baptist, which is 6 months, you know, pregnant 6 months, knows it too. What a great thing. How many other people know that Mary's going to have the Messiah? I don't know. Does Joseph know just yet? I don't know. She just got told. I don't think so. First person on earth that knows that Mary has got the Messiah within her is Elizabeth and the babe, not even a baby yet, John the Baptist, when he's still inside her womb. And blessed is she which believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. And then Mary prophesies and gives thanks. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came, ready to give birth, and that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. Now her cousin was Mary, right? That said that in the other section. Got the neighbors and you got Mary. Now the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs unto the father, how that he would have him called. What is that game? Charades, where you got to guess what the person's saying. You know, so they're making signs unto him, like, you know, just because he can't speak means he can't hear too. So people are strange, aren't they? Yeah, so it's like when the blind men, remember in John chapter 9, the blind men, they asked the blind men, well, who is he? I don't know. I'm blind. I never saw him. people are really funny. So they're doing this thing, charades, because he can't talk. He can hear. God bless. Yeah, I saw this comedian the other day, and you know, when it was funny, it struck me, because you know how people say, well, bless your heart. They just said, well, that's a Southern way of saying you're wrong nicely. Bless their little hearts here. So, verse 63, and he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And the fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied and said, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us. See, God has promised Israel. He's promised us. He's promised. There's nothing that he hasn't promised his people. We are and shall be. And right now, at this moment, we're delivered from the hand of our enemies. Not too many people believe it. You know, they're still, they don't believe half of what the scripture says. But let's get real serious. I mean, you have been delivered from the hand of the enemy, and yet we're still act like we're under the power of him. Stop it. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, and he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, guide our feet unto the way of peace. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert until the days of his showing to Israel, until the coming out party. I think they got coming out parties now, right? Well, God had his prophet come out. But verse 76 again, it says, and the child shall be called the prophet of the highest. This is 8 days old, and he knows that he's the prophet of the highest. And he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And that was talking about Elijah. Again, so now you have the angel declare it. You have the Father and the prophecy declare it. You have Jesus to declare it. John the Baptist is that prophet Elijah, which God had promised his people, that would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. He was 6 months older than Jesus. I think 6 months or 3 months, whatever it was, but yeah, 6 months older than Jesus was, but he came before him. And his ministry was short, but it was probably one of the greatest, because Jesus himself said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet born of a woman. Now, you want to argue with the Lord? There isn't much spoken about him. But he prepared and did what God wanted done. It's not, you know, how much ink you get in the Bible that indicates your importance. It's the fact that you do the job God wants you to do, that you stay faithful unto him. I just think that is beautiful. Let me take you a little bit further here. And go to chapter 3 and in verse 1. Continuing here with John the Baptist. It says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Ithuria, and the region of Anos and whatever else this place is. I'll let you guys all figure it out. Verse 2, and Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now remember, Elizabeth and Zacharias were well stricken in age. John is 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus began his ministry about 30. Therefore, John the Baptist is 30 and a half, right, at this time. God calls him out. He's in the wilderness. Now, what the wilderness means doesn't mean that he's deep in the desert all, but he grew up in the hill country of Judea, and it says he's in the wilderness. That's all it says. I don't know what that means exactly, but I do know that then the Lord calls him out to go do the work. And God tells us, even though I can't pronounce some of these names or places, God tells us exactly who in history is running the show. You can find out exactly when this was. Again, another wonderful detail God gives us. He wants to make sure that we get the point and the time and everything else that's going on here. Verse 3, and it came to pass that all the country of Jordan, it came to pass in all the country of Jordan, preaching and baptizing the repentance of the remission of sins, which was also in the prophecy of Zechariah. And it is written in the book of the words of Elijah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation of God. Then saith he unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, there you go. I love it. John the Baptist is out there. God calls him. He's doing this great work. I mean, this is a work that God needs to have done, and he's doing this great work. He's not exactly trying to win friends and influence people. He comes out, and the first thing that we hear out of his mouth is he's yelling at the people who have come to him to repent. He is yelling at them. And I can't read this too many other ways. I don't know if there's any other versions that make it sound less coarse. But, oh, generation of viper, you bunch of snakes, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begun not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. They had the same problem that a lot of people do today. You know, well, I believe Jesus is my Lord. I believe God raised them from the dead. I got the Spirit, therefore I'm saved. That's not what the Bible says. I believe the gospel, but you have to keep Jesus Lord. It's not a one-time confession, and then we got it forever. It says that we are to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives and believe what God has done in the resurrection and everything else that he's done. But this is a continuous action. You know, It's not a one-time event. These people believe, well, because I'm in the bloodline and Abraham's my father, I'm covered. I got circumcised. I'm good. There are other religions that believe you got baptized when you were a baby. You're good. You know, you're born a Catholic. That's what I was, you know, when I was a Catholic. You want, you get yourself baptized, you're good. All right. And you get yourself the prayer after you're dead and you're good. It's not what the Bible talks about. John the Baptist, you generation of snakes, who warned you of the kingdom that's coming, the wrath that's coming upon all mankind? And I don't think he made it real comfortable for these people. Yeah, you know, I get that impression. Then he says, the next thing we get to see, you know, he says to them, just because you are Abraham's bloodline don't mean a thing. Verse 9, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. And every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire. In other words, the fruit that's meat for repentance is also the fruit that's talking about in this tree. And guess what? It's righteousness, doing the word, living the word, doing the things of God and not sinning. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? You know, in general, he's going to, and I love this. What was his message to them as far as their lives? So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You got food and clothes that you can share? Share it. Giving, you know, being giving, loving. He said, you know, those who give a cup of water in my name to one of these children, you know, I mean, visit the poor, pray, care for one another, watch over each other. I mean, those are all of the things that you can read throughout the scriptures, right? And verse 12, it says, then came unto him publicans to be baptized. You know, the publicans were the guys who worked for the Roman Empire. They collected the taxes. They made them. In fact, Matthew, if you was a publican. Matthew, the apostle Matthew, was a publican. He was a tax collector, hated. These people were hated. They were traitors to their own people. That's how they were treated. And they would make their money by not only taking the tax that Rome wanted, but then they'd put a little on top for themselves. What a racket. So John the Baptist says to them, because remember, works for repentance. It's a living the word thing. Then came to pass the Republicans to be baptized, and he said unto them, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't steal. Don't take any more than what you're supposed to. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your own wages. He didn't tell them. Now, just get the picture straight. He didn't tell these people to stop being tax collectors. He did not tell them to stop being soldiers. What do soldiers do? They go to war. They train for war. They go, and that's a violent thing, right? But it's a righteous thing. You have God's armies and his people going to war. I know many people use this as a pacifistic type of thing, but that's not what John the Baptist said to them. You know what the temptation of a tax collector is? to collect more than you're supposed to. You know what the temptation and the sin of a soldier is? You are a powerful individual with a weapon. Therefore, you can falsely accuse people. You can abuse your power and do violence to people when it's not necessary. Don't do that. And be content with your wages. Because you know what? If you can be very tempted to take what doesn't belong to you. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he be the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat unto the granary, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, adding yet this above all, that he shut him, John, into prison. John was an incredibly important individual. The reason why does God put so much time into this and then weave the birth of our Lord and Savior in between it? I didn't read the birth records of our Lord and Savior. First of all, Mary got inspired because Elizabeth, in her old age, got the miracle of a baby. Mary would have encouraged to have faith. God wanted us to know these great truths because he wants every word is coming to pass, even if you didn't understand it, even if you didn't get it, it came to pass. And he lets us know three times that he's Elijah. Elijah. The love, the protection of the word, the love that God has to show us, to make it known unto us, that the word will come to pass whether Zacharias believes or not. The Lord's coming back whether there's going to be anybody here to believe it or not. In fact, Jesus said it sometimes. He said, will there be faith on the earth when I come back? I don't know. All I know is what I have to do in the lifetime that I have and what you need to do in your lifetime. We need to keep this word, believe this word, you know, not allow anybody to rip the truth away from our hearts. You know, you are a son and the daughter of the living God. Nothing should take that away from your heart. I don't care what prison they throw you in. I don't care what they call you. I don't care what anything else is. The truth of the matter is that you are God's child. And you are going to be with him through eternity if you just stay faithful to the gospel. You stay faithful to that gospel. You stay faithful to his word. You know, again, we got to live our lives and do the word. This is not, it's not a game. You don't take off a year not to do it. You do what the Lord called you to do. And you'll love him. You honor him. And like I said, I hope you got inspired a couple week or so ago when I asked everybody to go out and find somebody to talk to. Go out and find somebody to talk to. Go out and hold forth your Father's word. Glorify God. It's a great time of the season to do it. So many people are depressed because they can't be with the people they want to be with. Just go love. Go love. Be excited about what God's done. So that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning. And Father, I thank you for your love. And thank you for all that you've given to us in the Word, for all of the beautiful things that you show us, Father, that you prove to us each and every day, that you are the God who has fulfilled the promises that are in your Word. You are the Father and the God who is thrilled to have children with you forever and ever. Help us to stay faithful. Help us to lead others. Help us, my God, to enjoy the truth of your Word and live with those fruits, Father, that are righteous in our lives, to honor you and to glorify you each and every day. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.